Yes, yes. The last time I think that I really spent a whole evening at the Young Israel dinner was when we were on it in 1991. Purim was on Thursday, and that's the day that the war was over, and Sunday, it wasn't even a Sunday night dinner then. I could have even said a shiur that night, because it was scheduled for the afternoon, like all simchas then were scheduled for the afternoon. So all right, that's the story. I made the decision, and I'm going to live with the decision. There will not be a shiur next Wednesday night. Instead, the shiur will take place. Oh, that's it. I'm not canceling the shiur. Instead of having the shiur Wednesday night, we'll have the shiur, my choice Shabbos, which is going to be Shavuos. Whatever time, most probably it'll be around about midnight. Most probably it'll be about 11 or 11:15 here in Shul. And then right after that, I go over to Mezel. So next week's shiur will take place. Next week's shiur, except instead of taking place on Wednesday night, it's going to take place on my Tzoyi Shabbos. I feel much better. All right.
This week's Sedra is Parshat B'chukotai. Parashat B'chukotai. And I want to take a look at a number of psukim in the Tochacha, and then we will talk about the Tochacha in general. There is a parashat Tochacha both in B'chukotai and in Parashat Ki Tavo in Sefer Devarim, where God admonishes and he says what will be in the event, of course, that we fulfill Torah u'mitzvahs, and then, God forbid, what will happen in lo tishvi'u. Let's even take a look at the beginning of the... let's read a few psukim before we deal with Tocha. Let's at least see a few good psukim at the beginning of the... at the beginning of the parasha. By the way, we're going to see that even some of the psukim in the Tochacha itself are good news for Klal Yisrael. In b'chukosai teilechu v'es mitzvosai tishmoru, if you will go in my statutes and keep my mitzvos, asidematom, you will do them. I will give you rain in its proper time, and Atnaha Adat Yivulan, the earth will give out its produce, the eitz hasadeh yitain pirio, and the trees of the field will give his fruit. There will be a constant agricultural activity, the threshing and then the gathering in, and by the time you're finished with that, it's time to start all over again with the planting. You will eat bread and be sated, and you will live in your land with security. Now, what's very fascinating over here is, of course, I didn't write these psukim, and neither did Rabbi Yamin write it. But before the Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz, before, and I will give peace in the land. What comes before peace? What comes before peace is security. There cannot be peace without security. Now, this was a Torah statement, as you know. I'm always making Torah statements during these shiurim. By the way, last night when he said that that Binyamin, he got a rousing, roaring... I can't listen on to the tape. I can't say what it was. I mean, I can't say where it was that he spoke. The round of applause was magnificent. There was a program on which Shamir... Taref and Netanyahu. It was unbelievable. Just the mikra, I came in late, and I never know these things in advance. It was a magnificent, magnificent thing. Taref is still living there. He is living in the future. It was unbelievable. I don't understand, man. It doesn't make sense. He's such an intelligent person. I think that the Netanyahu was making a mistake in thinking it was very difficult to make peace with dictatorships. We're living in a volatile area, a lot of dictatorships, all dictatorships are under democracy. And, you know, it's very difficult because whatever agreement you enter into doesn't necessarily mean that there's it's going to last. Things can change dramatically. So in the course of his response, Peres says, well, the United States of America, what has relations with Russia and with China? They're dictatorships. What speaketh the man? I mean, they're 5,000-10,000 miles away. I What's he talking about? I don't know. But Shamir was great. Peres told him, "Ma ta rotze aza? You want aza? So he didn't hesitate for a moment. He got tremendous applause. Tremendous applause. But the pasuk we're talking about, Pesukim, the Pesukim says that the Yishavtim will better Baratzachem, and then V'nasati Shalom, Baratz will be peace in the land, V'shichavtim will lie down, V'imacharid, and nobody will cause you fear, V'yishvati Chayoro min Haaretz, and I will remove evil beasts from the land, V'chedev lo tava Baratzachem, and no sword shall go through your land. V'udadavtim et ha'yivechem, you will pursue your enemies, V'nafu l'sneichem l'chadav, and they will fall before you by the sword. V'radfu mikem chamisha meyach, 5 will pursue 100, Umeyomi Kemrepova Yirdofu, and 100 will pursue 10,000. There's the famous Rashi over here, the famous Rashi that the mathematics doesn't work out terribly well. If 5 pursue 100, so how many would you need to pursue 10,000? You would need 2,000. And instead, the pasuk says 100 are going to pursue 10,000. The Rashi, famous Rashi, where it says, "Ain't a domer, you cannot compare mu'at and a few people who do a mitzvah and many who do a mitzvah." In other words, when there are more people, their strength is not compounded arithmetically, but their power is extended and expanded geometrically. What 5 can do, 100 can do a great deal more than that. All right. Upaniti alechem, I will benafu aivechem l'sneichem l'chodat, your enemies will fall by the sword. Upaniti alechem, I will turn you with beiti etchem, and I will make you fruitful. Here beiti etchem, vakimoti et beiti etchem, and I will establish my covenant with you. Then, of course, begins the afterwards prosecute dalit v'im lo tishmuli v'lo tassu et kol mitzvot ha'elif. You're not going to listen to me. You're not going to do these mitzvahs. Then, of course, begins the long series of terrible suffering that will befall the Jewish people. What I want to concentrate on is, let's go to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Well, you know what? Lamed 30. V'hishmadeti ad bamotechem, I'm going to destroy your high places upon which you brought sacrifice to idols. V'hichrati et chamonechem, I will cut out chamonechem, sort of idols or statues to the sun. V'natati et pigrechem, pigrechem al pigrei gilulechem, your bodies will fall over the bodies of your idols. V'gualon nafshi etchem ma'ir, I will abhor you. Terrible. V'natati et arechem chorva, your cities are going to be destroyed. V'hashimoti et mikdashechem, this pasuk is going to be important. I am going to make your holy places desolate. V'lo adiach bereach michol chachem, I will not smell the korbanos, the sacrifices that you will bring, because I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'hashimoti ani et haaretz, and I'm going to make the land desolate. Shamam v'aleha ayyavechem ayyoshvim v'ah, and your enemies who live in the land are going to be desolate. We're going to come back to this pasuk. It's just a pasuk that whenever I learn it, I have to come back to it, and it's a pasuk we spoke about a few years ago, but we will briefly look at it again. And I will disperse you amongst the nations, and I will send the sword after you. Your land is going to be desolate, and your cities are going to be destroyed. Lamed Dalet is an important pasuk, and it's going to be repeated a number of times in a number of different ways. That there's a time limit to your exile. The time limit to your exile is the time it's going to take for the land to rest the years that it should have rested, and it didn't, because you didn't keep Shemitah and you didn't keep Yovel. So while you're out of the land is not going to be worked. Then the land is going to finally have its Shabbatot, its years of Shemitah. Kol Yimei Hashana, all the days that it's desolate, nobody's going to work the land. You're off there in the land of your enemies. Then the land is going to have Shabbos. It's going to make up for the years of Shabbaton, Shemitah and Yovel that should have been kept. Kol Yimei Hashana, all the days that it's desolate, it shall rest. that which you did not rest, b'shavtotechem b'shivtechem olah, the years of Shabbaton when you lived in the land. Rashi makes a very complicated calculation that there were 70 years of Shemitah and Yovel that Jews did not keep during the 900 years that they were in Eretz Yisrael, beginning from Yehoshua until the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Mem. The change begins in Pasuk Mem. V'hitvatu et avonam, v'et avon avotam, and then after all of the tzaras, they are going to confess their sins and the sins of their fathers. B'ma'alam asher ma'alu bi, that which they sinned against me. V'af asher holchu imi b'kedi, they went with me. Their relationship with me was a casual one, a cold one. Here comes the problem one that we have to deal with. Pasuk Mem seems to be talking about a change of heart. Jews are confessing their sins. Now, what should be God's response? God's response should be now to bring them back to Him. And the Pasuk continues on, Pasuk 41, Mem Aleph. I will go with them in a casual way, and I'm going to bring them into the land of their enemies. Problematic. What do you mean? They are in the land of their enemies. What do you mean you're going to bring them into the land of their enemies? Also a problem that we'll see Rashi and Rambam deal with. The word O, what does it mean? Of ye kana levavam ha'arel, their closed heart is going to become subdued before God. Va'oz ye tzu et avonam, and then their sins will be forgiven. Famous pasuk v'zacharti ad briti Yaakov v'afet briti Yitzchak. I will remember the covenant of Yaakov and the covenant of Yitzchak. V'afet briti Avram ezkor v'ha'aretz ezkor. I will remember the covenant of Avram, and I will land, and I will remember the land. The Mefarshim are going to ask the question. Pasuk Mem Bet should have followed Pasuk Mem. In Pasuk 40, it said that they're going to say vidui, they're going to confess their sins. What should God's response be? V'zacherti, I will remember the covenant with Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. But in the middle between Pasuk 40 and Pasuk 42, you have Pasuk 41 that seems to be simply out of place. Out of place. All right, let's take a look at our sheet. Well, I'm telling you, Xerox machine is a gewaltige Sache. No, I used to have to say these things, and you didn't have something to look at. It makes it so much easier. Number one is the Ramban in Parashat Bechukotai on Pasuk Mem Aleph, the problematic Pasuk. So he begins by bringing Rashi. O Oz Yikon Alevavam Ha'orel, Kimo. Oh no, Dakishar Nagahu. Rashi is saying that the word O can mean if. Not or, but if. If their hearts will become subdued, they will be forgiven. And he brings a pasuk where it says in Mishpatim, oh no doubt, if it will become known that this ox was a goring ox. Oh no, Dakishar Nagahu. Lashon Acher, another pshat says Ulai, that the word O means Ulai. Maybe, Shema, Oz Yikon Alevavam Harel. Maybe their closed heart is going to become lowered before me, and they're going to accept my yoke. Oz Yirtzu Tavonam, then their sins will be forgiven. Yechavru Alevavonam B'Yisudayim, their sins will be forgiven through their suffering. Lashon Rashi. That's what Rashi said. V'hanochum v'enai, and what's right in my eyes, sheyomar v'heveti otam be'eretz oyevehem. The Ramban learns it a bit different than Rashi. He learns v'heveti otam, I'm going to bring them into the land of their enemies. Either, he's learning O as we normally understand O, either atzman yikon alevavam ha'ara, o atzman yiratzu et avonam v'orech hakalut. Either until they are going to become humble before me, their hearts will be humbled and open before me. And if not that, then they're going to have to find forgiveness for their sins by a long, long gulus until they will ultimately find atonement. Now, the Ramban asks the question, we're going to see another approach, but the Ramban asks the question that we, as we pointed it out, after Pasuk Mem, they will confess their sins. What should have come after Pasuk 40? Pasuk 42. It should have said that Achati had been to Yaakov. Kimatam. What's the point after they have confessed? It doesn't make any sense if they are already begging for forgiveness. What do you mean I'm going to bring them into the land of their enemies? Now in this place, now is not the time that they should go into exile and be brought into the land of their enemies. I said even more. They are already in the land of their enemies. What do you mean you're going to bring them? So first he brings the Ibn Ezra, who Peter Shabbat Avram said, Afani Kain Ositi Imahem. In order to resolve the problem of this Pasuk 41, the problematic Pasuk, the Ibn Ezra's approach is that the Pasuk is really a flashback. The Pasuk is a past perfect. And therefore he learns, Afani Kain Ositi Imahem. In order that they should be forgiven, I brought suffering upon them, be certain. What was the suffering? La'abi'am be'eret o'yideim. I had brought them into the land of their enemies. La'achmi'a levavim haro. In order to humble their heart. What the Pasuk is coming to say is you should know the Rebbein Shem doesn't just bring suffering for suffering's sake, God forbid. He doesn't bring trouble upon the Jewish people. It's part of a process, an educational process. He wants to bring Jews closer. So when it says in Pasuk 40 that they will confess their sins, so you know what the next Pasuk is telling us? That was the point why I brought them into the land of their enemies. I accomplished what I set out to accomplish. So that the Ibn Ezra is saying, Afani kein asiti mahem, v'yisartim l'havdiyam be'eretz ayyavim, l'achnei alavavam ha'aro. And that's exactly why I brought them into the land of their enemies, so that they should be humbled. V'hizkir zebekan. Why is this mentioned here? Ki hizvadu et avonam. Because they finally confessed the sins, ba'avur shani ha'mithaved lehem. I'm the one who caused it. You should know I brought them to this. This was a process of education, and sometimes education is very painful. I'm the one who caused it. Ki gam b'shat kalkalatam, even when they were bad, I never intended to hurt them. Nitkarvanti b'hem, my whole intent was shiyasu tshuva v'yitvadu. They should do tshuva and confess. That was the whole point. You know, like a tata who says, and he really means it, I meant it for your own good. That was the point. So the Ibn Ezra, of course, what he has to do is, he takes the pasuk and he makes it a past perfect that, oh, now you know why I brought you into the land of your enemies. The Ramban is, and there's a little story behind this this Ramban. The little story behind this Ramban is I'm teaching Ezra in town, Ezra and Nehemiah. And we happened to be in, last week we were at chapter, what was it? Chapter 10? Yeah. All right. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's a live witness that we learn Ezra in town. And this Ramban, another one. So for them, this is a repeat, but here they're seeing it in the Ramban itself. So somebody asked me, there's always a troublemaker in that class. There's always somebody that's going to ask a question that's going to rile me up. And so the question that was asked two weeks ago, somebody asked me the question. I finally came back with this Ramban. Somebody asked me the question that they heard somebody in Haranof, I think, a shir, the great shir that said that, you know, proof that you don't make a yontif for Yom HaTzmaut, because Ezra and Nehemiah didn't make a yontif when they came back to Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they make a yantif, you know, with stones and all sorts of other things? Why didn't they make a yantif? They didn't make a yantif. So from this you see that you don't make a yantif for coming to Eretz Yisrael. So this whole concept. So nothing with nothing. So, of course, the first thing I did, as usual, is I got all upset. The second thing I did was, my father, I got upset at it. And then finally I started speaking clearly, and of course, it came to me, and it's something that I had said years ago, that the whole point was, when Ezra and Nehemiah came, they hadn't achieved independence, but when they finally achieved independence, which wasn't the time of Hanukkah, as the Rambam says, Chosra Hamalchus in Yisrael Yeder Al Matay Mishanach. The Rambam says that the significance of Hanukkah is that Malchus, independence, returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years. That's when they made a yantif, not one day, but 8 days, ganz hallel, complete hallel, with a blood. So then the Rebbe Nisun sends, and it was in a strange way that I got to this Rambam last week in the Hukosai. And the Ramban approach to the Pasuk is so unique. It's so absolutely unique. And here you see it. And I'm going to bring additional proof to the Ramban. Va'odati. You see where it's underlined? Va'odati yirmoz. In my opinion, this Pasuk comes to hint at a very special idea. Ki achar ha'vidui. Pasuk 40 said to his father, and they are going to confess their sins. After the vidui, yelech imam bekedi, after they have said vidui, God is still going to continue the cold relationship. V'yaviotam od be'eretz oyevehem, and he's going to bring them again into the land of their enemies, ad sheyikana levavam ha'orel, until their heart becomes humbled. V'hu remez, you know what the prophet is hinting at? Sheheviyam el ha'oretz, v'lo nirbishal lefneihem. He brought them into Eretz Yisrael, but the land wasn't conquered by them. They came into an Eretz Yisrael that was a vassal state of the Persian Empire. They had no independence when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, they didn't have independence. So therefore, in this passage, when it says, "Behaveyotam, I will bring them be'eretz oyeveihem," it means I'm going to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is going to be Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to be their land. When I said it in class, so my wife made the remark, the good remark, that the word that's used in the pasuk is the Hevesi. What was the pasuk in Va'era? The four lishonos of Geula are the Hitzauti, the Ga'alti, the Lakachti. And then the fifth one is the Hevesi Otam, I will bring them to Eretz Yisrael. El Horet Asher Nasati Et Yadi, that I swore that I'm going to bring them in. So the Hevesi is talking about bringing them back to Eretz Yisrael. But what kind of an Eretz Yisrael are they going to come back to? They're going to come back to an Eretz Yisrael that was not conquered by them. They are there by the good graces of Koresh Melech Paras. They don't have independence. Avol Hoyulahem Tzorim V'Oidim Sham. They had oppressors and enemies there, Kemoshe Nema, as it says, Vayomru, Tzoreinu. These are all quotes from Ezra and Nehemiah. Our oppressors said, Vayikash Yishamu Oyevenu, when our enemies heard, V'ha'oret V'yad Ha'amim Haita. The land was in the hands of the nations, Kemoshe Oma Ezra. And this is these are the psukim that we got up to last week in the shir. And I knew the Ramban already in advance. Listen to a tefillah of Ezra. It's a very long tefillah. Part of this tefillah we say in davening every morning. What do we say before Oz Yosher? Atu Hashem lekim Hashem bechartu biyavam vaytzei simir kavim nisam tishmei avrom matzosim zubavim nem lefanecha. Lecha Hashem agdul agdula. All of that comes before Oz Yosher comes from Nehemiah. But listen to the end of his prayer. And we have to listen to it carefully. Hinei. Let me give you the background. Now you need the background for this. The Jews had already been back in Eretz Yisrael, I'd say about 60 years by the time Ezra, 50, 60 years, and Ezra is saying this prayer. They have built the Beit HaMikdash. You understand? There's a Beit HaMikdash and sacrifices are being brought. The walls of the city of Yerushalayim are complete. And he says the following. And these are the last two psukim of a long prayer of Ezra in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael who had gathered in the Beth HaMikdash. Hine anachnu hayom avodim. Today we are slaves. V'haretz Hashem atata l'avoteinu. And the land that you gave to our fathers, le'echolet kiryat, to eat her fruits, that tuvan, her good. Hine anachnu avodim aleha. We are slaves on this land. U'tvu'atam marba. There's a great deal of produce. But do you know where it goes to? L'amelachim Hashem atata aleinu v'chatateinu. It goes to the kings whom you placed over us because of our sins. Va'al giviyoteinu moshlim, and they rule over our bodies, over the henteinu and in our animals. Kidetzonam, as they wish. And the last three words of his prayer are, u'bitzoro gedola anachu, we're in great trouble. I'm sure that if one would discuss, if one would set up this kind of a situation for the Baal Hashkafa, who said proof from Ezra and Nehemiah that you don't make a Atzmaut, you don't, but you would have told him, what happens if we have the Beis HaMikdash? If we have the Beis HaMikdash, we'd make a Yom Tov. You see, anybody, most people who will talk about Ezra and Nehemiah most probably never opened an Ezra and Nehemiah in their lives. Beis HaMikdash? Oh, would we make a Yom Tov? Twice hollow. What are you talking about? And here we're talking, here we get a picture of how Ezra and Nehemiah, how Ezra and Nehemiah look at it. Based on nature. I don't know. Jews are coming back. But we're not independent. Our enemies rule over us. And that's what the prophet is saying. After v'hizvadu es avonam, after they will do tshuva, but they will not yet be forgiven because I'm going to bring them be'eretz ha'yaveh. And that's Eretz called the Hebeti Yotam. I'm going to bring them. And do you know when they're going to make the great party? The great celebration is going to come when they achieve independence. To point out the significance of independence, let's go to 2 and 3. Now the fact is I could have made a whole shiur just on independence, but I'm not going to do that. We're sticking as much as we can to Parshat HaShavua. Here is a Gemara in Brachas. All we need the first few lines. I don't have to learn the whole Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Arba Tzvikul Lahodos. There are four people who have to thank God. They have to bring a carbon toda. In our days, what a person does is he benches Goymul. You get up and you bench Goymul. What are the four things which you have to bench Goymul? Yoridei Hayam, those who go down to the sea. And we have already extended it, of course, to somebody who flies over the sea, comes back from Chutz La'aretz and benches Goyim. V'holchin edbaros, those who go through a desert. A desert is a place of danger. You come through the desert, unscathed and unharmed, you say, bench Goyim. U'misha ha'yachol v'nischap, a person who is ill and is healed. U'misha ha'yachol v'beis or asurim, somebody who was locked in prison v'yotzani yadam. These are the four. Number three is the Maharsha on this Gemara. The Maharsha is a very, very big Maharsha. I'm giving you only the last few lines. And yet, Hashem, someday, I think we may have to learn that whole Maharsha. The Maharsha really is, he connects the four who have to say thank you to the Arba Kosos. We're just going to get the tail end of it. It's a very fascinating Maharsha. First line of the Maharsha at the end, where it's underlined. You see how easy I make it for you to follow me? You know what his problem is? The Maharsha's kasha to Gevaldike kasha. We daven svard in this shul. And since we daven svard, so therefore on Mincha, Erev Shabbos, we start Mincha with chapter 107 in Tehillim, which is Hodu Lashem Kito Kilalom Chazdo, and it's in that perek that they list those who go down to the sea, how they suffer. When they come out, they thank God. All four are listed in that chapter, and the Gemara here is going to prove that these four have to thank God. It's from that chapter 107. There's only one fascinating thing that the Maharsha zeroes in on. The order in which the Gemara listed them is not the order in which they appear in the chapter in Tehillim. And watch, he's going to say it. This was the intent. Shino HaTalmud.
The Gemara changed Sidron Shel Hadalit, the order of the four, that Tzrichim Lahodot Miseder Akatol, the four that have to thank God. The order is changed from the order in the Pasuk. Shehein. The order in the Pasuk is Midbar, Chavush, Chole, Viyam. The order in the chapter is desert, prison, sick, sea. Not sea, sick. Sick is one, and a person who came out of the sea. The order of the Pasuk is, again, desert, prison, a person who was sick, and a person came out of the sea. Ba'talmud Sidron. How did the Gemara, what order did the Gemara give it? Yam, Umidbar, V'chole, V'chovosh. Sea and desert, hill and prison. And more than that, he says, when the Gemara mentioned the first two, Yorde Hayam V'holchein Midbarot, they use the present tense. Those who go down to the sea, those who go through the desert, and when they mention person who was ill or one who was in prison, they use the past tense. Why did they do that? I mean, of course, the question is a great question, especially since the Gemara is going to be proving that these four have to bench Gemel or bring the Korban Torah from the Perek into Hillel. So why did the Gemara change the order? Say the Shema Halasham. Biyam, and the Gemara changed its terminology. Biyam u'midbar, by sea and desert, it said, Lashon, hold their presence. Yordei hayam, those who go down to the sea. Baholchei midbar, and those who go down to the desert. U'bechole, u'bechavosh, by one who was ill, or one who was imprisoned. Oma b'lashon avar, there it says in the past. Mishahoya kola v'nisata, one who was sick and became healed. U'mishahoya kovosh, somebody who was imprisoned and he went out. The purpose for all of this is HaKarbonah She'omarnu B'Sod Dalet Kosos. What the Gemara really is telling us is the secret of the four kosos of wine on the night of the Seder. K'moshe Kosav, as it says, Al-Pi B'Reishis Rabba, according to the Medrash B'Reishis Rabba, She'nigalu B'Gulas Mitzrayim Yikol Dalet Hami'ikim. They were redeemed from Egypt, from all four, and we'll see what they are. Four causes and sources of suffering. Umatili begins with Yerde Ayam. Those who go down to the sea, Shal Yedeshi Yerdu Layam, because they went down to the sea, Vinit Solu, and they were saved, Vikriyat Yamsov. Going down to the sea refers to ultimately they were saved from the hand of Mitzrayim when they went down to the sea, and Shamit Ashru Mibisat Hayam, they became rich from the spoil of the sea, Valzeh Yodu Hashem, for this you have to thank God. When did they thank God? That's the Shira they said right afterwards of Yashem Moshe Uvenei Yisrael as Hashira Zod. Valden Yitkan Koshel Kiddush says this corresponds to the Kosh of Kiddush, which is Zeche LeYitzias Mitzchayim. That's the real Yitzias Mitzchayim, the going out of Egypt. Shehu Kriyas Yamsuf Hamore Al Kiddush Olam Kriyas Yamsuf. The God who created the world is the one that is able to make such dramatic changes in nature. The Sheni Lo, the second thing that happened to the Jewish people was Holchein Midbaros. Now you see, the order in the Gemara is going to follow the order of Jews as they come out of Egypt. Then they're going to go through the desert. The Holchein Midbaros. So the Midbar Hayalahem Inui, they suffered in the Midbar. Achshe Zachu L'Kamatavos, until they became worthy of many good things. For example, the Slav and the Mon. Al Zen it kap coast Shani, Shakodam Asuda, the second coast before the Suda, Al Zeh, Yodu Hashem, this they also thank God, the He Shidas Habe'er in Parashat Chukas, there is the Shida, the song that they sang to the Be'er, the water, and everything they had during the course of the 40 years in the desert. Vagimu Chola. The third is one who is ill who is healed, because when they came to Sinai, when they came to Sinai, the Medrash says all the ill were healed at Sinai. So in other words, we're talking about the Yam. From the Yam they go through the Midbar. From the Midbar they come to Sinai and they are all healed. Chola, Shezachu b'Yitzias Mitzrayim b'Netinat HaTorah, when Torah was given, Shroes is coming. By Nesinas HaTorah, Shemisrapu kol ha'koylem yichoylem shi'oyolam, all the ill were healed from their illness. That they had to say something in Mitzrayim. Valden Yitzkan Kos Gimel, the third coast. She'achar HaSuda, the one that comes after the Suda, the night of Pesach.
In that parak, in Simon, we say, what's one of the indications of the illness? A symptom, kol ochel tatai, if nashim, but they couldn't eat. But now we finished the Suda the night of Pesach, and we're benching now. This refers to the having been healed, the Hadalim. This is why I learned the Gemara, the fourth. The fourth is the person who is in prison, and he finally goes out to freedom. The fourth, Misha HaYachovish, Shalobo Yisraeli Dechedus Gamor, Klal Yisrael did not achieve absolute freedom. Adasher, Achasher, Kovshu Eretz Yisrael, until after they conquered Eretz Yisrael, Shenital Yad Ovde Kochavim Legamri Me'olenu. When the yoke of the non-Jews was removed completely from us, Valzen Itkan Kosevi, that's Kosevi, the fourth Kosevi. What the Marshal therefore is saying is, just as by Ezra and the Ramban, Beis HaMikdash is great. Binyan Yerushalayim is terrific. But still, B'tzara Gedola Anachnu, Ezra says, we are in great trouble. When is the great trouble removed? The great trouble is removed only when they achieve independence. Because he said clearly, what is B'tzara Gedola? We are avodim to the kings who rule over us, over our bodies, over our animals, over everything. The real achievement, or the final achievement, is the achievement of independence. And that's what the Marsha says. The real freedom comes when we conquer the land, and then it, and we remove the yoke of the nations of the world. Let's go to number five, because number five is really a takeoff on number four. It's the Malbim. The Malbim is going to say a different shot on our three psukim. Remember, we have Pasuk 40, 41, and 42. 40 is the Pasuk of Tshuva, confession, v'hisvadulas avonam. So our question was, after v'hisvadulas avonam, it should have said, I will remember the covenant of Yaakov, Yitzhak, and Avram. Instead it says, v'heveti otam, I will bring them into the land of their enemy. I listened to what the Malbim said. V'hisvadu, they're going to confess. That's pasuk. What number pasuk is that? That's pasuk 40. For oz yashgiach b'chemlaso laharzidam b'tshuva. Then God, His divine providence upon them in His compassion, He's going to try to bring them back b'tshuva umavticham, and He promises, He guarantees. Ki be'et ha'hi yizrach lamo shemesh hashgacha mibein ha'ananim. Very beautiful the way he writes it. That the sun is going to shine out from between the clouds of the exile. Shelo yivolu min ben ha'umos. God is going to make sure that they're not going to be swallowed up by the nations of the world. Vezeh al yedei. You know how he's going to do that? Shiyavi otam ve'eretz ha'yivan. Wherever he brings them in exile, he's going to bring them into the land of their enemies. Because as long as they're in the land of their enemies, they're going to retain their identity. If, God forbid, they find themselves in a land of friends, they're going to lose their identity. So that, watch, he says it so clearly. He's going to bring them better to Yavan in the land of their enemies. So that the Goyim should not become friends with them. And Goyim should be Oyevayim Vitzoredayim. They should be their enemies and their oppressors. That's a blessing. How do you like that? That's a blessing, he says. Until Jews are simply going to have to separate from them. Umimafeim from their deeds. Mipnei ha'eva v'anafeim, because of the hatred and hostility. V'lashuv tachat ol malchut shamayim. They're going to have to come under the heavenly yoke. There's going to be no other place for them. Oh, oz yikana levavam ha'arel. By being in the land of their enemies, then their heart is going to be humbled. The Akilu, then they're going to realize, Ki niyad Hashem haikazot lahem, this all was the hand of God, ubazeh yachmiu libam l'tshuva. That's how they will be humbled to do tshuva. I mean, there's of course the, in other words, what he's really saying is, yes, the response to tshuva is, we're better off in the land of our enemies. How do you like that? The fact is, historically, it's true. Jews have always thrived in adversity, and unfortunately, unfortunately, they fell apart completely in lands that were good to them. And of course, the classic example is the United States. United States of America. America is the, well, we've said it often enough, but here it's the mountain, in a sense, that we're saying it, that the worst experience of all is in the land of Ohaveihem, or those who seem to be their friends. Saitu. Big Ramban. Don't get worried about it. I'm not going to go through the whole Ramban. I'm only going to, I'll give you, you know, I always assume in advance that I'll be able to cover a lot of ground. I don't succeed. I'm going to have to become more realistic. The Ramban here, this is the Ramban on the Tochacha. And the Ramban says the following. There is a Tochacha in the Hukotai, and there is a Tochacha in Kitovo, and there's a difference between the two. The difference between the two is the Tochacha in this week's Sefer refers to the period of the first temple, the exile to Babel, and the return, and the Tochacha in Pacha Kitovo is talking about the period of the second Beth HaMikdash and the destruction of that Beth HaMikdash, and therefore it means the long galus in which Jews have been since the destruction of the second Beth HaMikdash. And the Ramban gives a number of proofs, a number of proofs. One of his proofs is, we had learned the pasuk that God is going to destroy the high places and the idols that you made to the sun. A number of places here in Parsha B'Chukotai talks about the destruction of idolatry. Now, idolatry existed only during the period of the first Beit HaMikdash. There was no longer any idolatry during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. Because Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the Gemara says that Anshei Knesset HaGadolah prayed that God should remove the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, that lusting for Avodah Zarah. We most probably have difficulty understanding what its significance was because of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. But the Gemara records that one place, a Tana who had said something about Menashe, king of Yehuda, and Menashe appeared to him in a dream, and he says, if you would have been living at my time, you would have picked up your coat and you would have run to a house of idolatry. In other words, on some level, there was some kind of a spiritual dimension to it. Now, so therefore, this is of course a very good proof to the Ramban, since in this Sedra, it talks about the removal and the destruction of idolatry that could only have been first Beth HaMikdash. No mention of that is made in Parsha Kitavo. In Parsha Kitavo, it says that you're going to be taken off into exile to a distant place in boats. You see, that refers to Rome. Rome took Jews as slaves in boats to a distant land. The Golos over here does not seem to be a distant place, because there's a time limit on the amount of time that they're going to be in Golos, because we learned the Pesukim that said that you're going to be out there as long as it takes the land to rest for those years of Shemitah and Yovel that you didn't keep. Which means, therefore, there's a time limit to the Golos. The Kitavo Tochacha does not have a time limit to it, which of course indicates, therefore, that the Tochacha here is first Beth HaMikdash, the other is second. And then of course here Jews went in because they were going to come back sooner. They were taken off into exile in a place that was relatively close. They went to Babel. God took them to Babel. Babel really was just the other side of the river, the other side of the Euphrates. In terms of a comparison between Babel and Eretz Israel and Rome and Eretz Israel, it's a very, very big difference. They weren't taken off in both Babel and following Kitavo. The Pasuk is very specific about Jews will be dispersed and exiled all over the world to distant places, all over the world. Here there is nothing as specific as that, and of course the real exile where Jews went all over the world, that came in after the second Beit HaMikdash. There are a lot of other proofs that he brings. You know, this is one of those Rambans that one of these days we'll have to make a shiur devoted to it. You know, there's always a lot of Torah to learn. But what I want to zero in on is something that I said a few years ago, and I like it. I like it very much. And I said it earlier this week to a
sheer of men, and I tell you, even they were like, sounds good. You know, I'll break my hand, you know, patting myself on the back, but I like this. The, where it's underlined down at the bottom. The Ramban here is referring to the great Pasuk, Pasuk 32. A Pasuk that really only came to my attention. I mean, I learned the Pasuk many times, but it only came to my attention a few years ago. And that's when I've gone over it and over it again and again. Pasuk 32 says, "V'hashimoti ani et ha'aretz, I will make the land desolate. V'shamamu aleha yevechem ha'yoshim ba, your enemies who live in the land will be desolate." Says the Ramban. V'chein ma'asham abakan, that which it says here, v'shamamu aleha yevechem, your enemies will be desolate in the land. He besuda tova, this is good news. In middle of the tochacha, there's good news. Mevaseret bechol ha'galuyot, this comes to tell us that in all of the exiles, she'ein artzenu mekabelet et oyevenu, our land does not receive our enemies. In other words, that means that the tochacha is, the Rebbeim is saying to Klal Yisrael, I have bad news and I have good news. The good news is the land will never receive our enemies. The gam zur raya gedola, this is great proof, v'haftacha lanu, this is a promise to us. Kilo timtza b'kol ha'yishuv, you will not find on the entire face of this earth, eretz asher hoya tova urchava, a land that was as good and as wide, v'asher haitano shevet me'olam, that was always inhabited, v'hichareva kamah, that is as destroyed as this land is. And why is it so? Kimi oz yatsanu mimena, because of the time that we left the land, lo kibla uma v'lashon, it has not received any nation or tongue. The land simply refuses to respond to the ministrations of any other people. V'kulam mishtadlin lahoshiva, everybody's trying to settle the land, v'ein le'el yadam, and they're incapable of doing it. Ramban, by the way, is also talking in terms of his own personal experience. When he finally made Aliyah, he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, there's a letter that he sent back to his family, and he, one of the sentences of there is, Kol HaKadosh Mechavero, Chareid Mechavero. The holier a place is, the more desolate it is. He saw in Eretz Yisrael there was a chorb. And listen, he must have already, the first crusade had already taken place. I mean, everybody's trying to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but the land never, ever responded to any people. And Rashi here says the same thing. Rashi on the Pasuk, on Pasuk 32, V'hashimoti ani et ha'aretz, zumi da tova liYisrael, this is a good measure for Israel. Shelo yimtzu ha'oivim nachasroch bi'artzam, the enemy will never find a good feeling in the land. Shetehei sholmeinu miYosher, it's always going to be desolate. Always going to be desolate. So I remember when I first struck on this Rashi, I wondered to myself, and the Rashi and the Ramban are both based on the Torah's Kahanim and Medrash over here. How did Rashi and the Ramban write this and not get up in a cold sweat?
Happens if 200-300 years down the line, the Japanese finally conquer Eretz Yisrael. Understand?
And the Japanese turn Eretz into a Garden of Eden. What will happen? So why isn't Rashi worried? If Rashi says, it'll never happen. I tell you, Rashi slept like a baby. The Ramban was never troubled by it. Simply because if the Torah says, since the Torah says, Shamamu Aleha Oyevechem, your enemies are going to be desolate in the land, you can bet on it. And for 1900 years, the land, in fact, didn't respond to anybody. When did the land finally begin to give out produce? Only in this year. We've talked often about the tomatoes and about the apples and the kiwis. And I mean, what's available in Eretz Yisrael today is unbelievable. For 1900 years, it didn't exist. This is a fact of history. We are watching a nest before our very eyes. The Shamamah, huh?
Of course we should. Absolutely, that's reason enough to say hello. It was when I came to this Rashi that I coined the phrase that if you want to talk to God, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. This is a premise. But with this, I wanted to explain a Rambam that everybody talks about. I think I once gave a shiur with four or five different answers on this Rambam just given by Rav Soloveitchik. Different shiurim. He always keeps coming back to this Rambam. And if he can keep coming back to the Rambam, I can also keep coming back to the Rambam. The Rambam is on side one. And we don't have to do the whole Rambam. Halacha Tes Zayin. I'll tell you in advance what the Rambam is saying. And we learned the Rambam. I learned this Rambam with you in the Shabbos HaGadol Rasha. But I said a different thing in the Shabbos HaGadol Rasha. He said something else there. This is the Rambam where the Rambam differentiates. He differentiates between the sanctity of Mikdash and Yerushalayim, and of course I talk about it now. It can't help it. We have Yom Yerushalayim coming up in Yetz Hashem Gesundheit on Sunday. The shul, you should be have gotten your flyers already, or they should be in your mailbox. I saw one of the boys running around delivering them tonight. We're going to have a 2-hour tiyul and a walk Motzei Shabbos. So you'll get it. It's getting there. It's coming there. I'm usually the last one to know. And if I know already, then you can be sure you will know. To be Yom Yerushalayim. So the Rambam says the following: Kedushat Hamikdash Yerushalayim, the sanctity of Beth Hamikdash and Yerushalayim, from the time it was made holy by David and Shlomo, it remained holy forever. But Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, with regard to the mitzvahs, hatluyos, ba'aretz, shmita, truma, maisa, etc., etc., there were two sanctities. The first one was Yehoshua, who conquered the land and sanctified it. And the second was Ezra. Why did you need two? Because the sanctity that came as a result of the conquest of Yehoshua was removed when the land was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. But Ezra, he sanctified the land when they came back from the Babylonian exile. He sanctified the land by settlement. So even though the land was taken from us, the sanctity remains. So everybody wants to understand, what does the Rambam mean? Why should the meager, measly settlement of Ezra be stronger than the conquest of Yehoshua? If the conquest of Yehoshua is cancelled out by the conquest of Babel, then the settlement of the land by Ezra, that sanctity should be removed when Jews are taken off to Rome in exile. Let's read the Rambam. I want to read the Rambam because the Rambam is going to refer to a pasuk here in the Tanakh. The law, and it's a Rambam you have to know. So that the next time I come back to the Rambam with another pshat, I won't have to go through the Rambam. The Lama Ani Omerem, why do I say Bamigdash v'Yerushalayim? Why do I say that we got to the base Bamigdash and Yerushalayim, Kedusha Lishona, the first sanctity, Kitshala Asad Babu became holy for all times? But with regard to the sanctity of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Le'inyin Shvius U'Maisus, with regard to Shemitah and Maisus, V'Chayotzeven and similar mitzvot, Lo Kitshala Asad Babu, it did not become holy for all time. Mikdash and Yerushalayim, holy for all time, immediately. Eretz Yisrael goes through two kedushas. Why? So he says, "Lufisha kedusha v'Mikdash v'Yerushalayim te'ashina." The sanctity of Beis Hamikdash and Yerushalayim, because of the divine presence, there's nothing that cancels out divine presence. U'shchina ein v'teila. That's it. The Shechina is here. Shechina is here to stay. By the way, it's the only city in the world. The only city in the world that's holy because of Shechina. I mean that means to exclude Tel Aviv, New York, Detroit, and sometimes I even wonder whether I should put Tel Aviv in the same breath as New York and Detroit. There's still a difference between Tel Aviv and the rest. V'hareyu omer, how does the Rambam know that Shechina is never removed? V'hareyu omer. Pasuk 31 in the Tanakha, Bahashimoti et Mikdashechem, I will make desolate your holy places. The Rambam reads it as an oxymoron. Destroyed sanctity, desolate sanctity, but it's still sanctity. The two exist at the very same time together.
The Chachamim said, "Apalpi she mumin b'kedushatan heimam din, though they are desolate, they still remain holy. V'hashimoti, I will make desolate your mikdash, but it still remains mikdash, because the holiness and sanctity is because of Shechina, divine presence. Divine presence is never bought. Avol chiyuv haaretz v'shvius u'maisus, but the obligation of the land." With regard to Shemitah and Maisa, ain't no element nation kibush rabbin, it's only because it was conquered by the community. The kibun shenil kikohod, it's miyadayin. When the land was taken from their hands, botel ha kibush, the conquest was removed. The nifteram and atorah b'maisus shvius, and the land of Torah is potter from the Torah, from Maisa and shvius shahadei, ain't no meretz, it's not Eretz Yisrael. As far as the mitzvahs are concerned. But the kibun shalah Ezra, when Ezra came up the kitchen, he sanctified the land. Lo kitchah the kibush, he didn't sanctify it through kibush. Elo b'chazaka shehetezikuba, he sanctified the land by holding on to the land. And really, what the Rambam means, and that's the only thing Ezra did, they settled the land. They settled. Olafichah, therefore, kol makom shehetezikuba olei bavel, all every any place that was held onto by those who came up from Babel. Finishkadish v'kedushas Ezra hashniyan, was sanctified. With the sanctity, the second sanctity of Ezra is Mekudosh Hayom, is holy today. That second Kedusha, the Kedusha of Ezra, is holy today. So Abba Pisha Nilkecha Ha'aretz Mimenu, though the land was taken from him. The Chayim, the Shvius, and the Maishas, Ha'aretz, Shabiyanu, the Hilzah, too. So of course the question is staring you in the face, and everybody deals with this question. If the conquest of Yahushua, the Kedusha that came as a result of the conquest, was removed by the conquest of Babel, why shouldn't the sanctity that came because of the settlement of Ezra be removed because Jews were taken off into exile? I say, with this pasuk in the Tochacha, with the Rashi and the Ramban, the answer is right there before you left. Very nice. What cancels out conquest? Another conquest cancels out conquest. What should cancel out settlement? Another settlement. But what happens if no people will ever be able to settle the land because it says Vishamu Allah or Yevech, and your enemies are going to be desolate in the land? So there's no settlement that it can ever cancel out the settlement of Ezra. So the sanctity of the settlement of Ezra remains into eternity. Conquest cancels conquest, so therefore settlement should cancel out settlement. But there can't be any settlement by anybody else except Jews. That's what they are. And since there can't be any other settlement, as said clearly by the Pasuk, by Rashi, and the Qur'an, the second Kedusha, the Kedusha of Ezra, remains for all time. That's it.